Okay, I am number six, and this is TMP Live. And here's this week's monologue. In the Pink Floyd song, Another Brick in the Wall, Part 2, the famous line goes, "Hey, teacher, leave those kids alone." So much of the daily news cycle, alternative media and all, is about issues involving children. Understandably so, because I'd like to think that wanting to protect children is something inherent for most of us. People gravitating towards this issue isn't the problem. It's in the issues that are not being addressed. What do I mean by that? Well, for a while now, I've been going on about something I call the global corporatist oligarchy. A concept that simply put, describes how the influence of those whom control the world's wealth and resources influence our culture. But maybe what I haven't talked about enough is how through conditioning, this control produces behavior it needn't expend any energy on. Because the free-willed individual chose to act as if under that influence. Now, it can come in the form of self-censoring, not speaking out, or just carrying on with an order, even when you know it's wrong. When you see something disgusting, something terrible happen to a child, and do nothing, and no one ever asked you to. That is some type of power. Is it fear? That I can sort of get behind, because pain and death are very real. But a corrupt system just can't corrupt everybody. It has to rely on people looking to do what the others are doing. It's an instinct. It's for survival. It need not be moral. And that's what allows the state to take people's children. The problem that isn't being addressed is our government's interest in our children. Not just to traffic them or MK Ultra them, they more than likely do, but it's how they are being conditioned to be obedient soldiers of the corporatist oligarchy that runs this country. No amount of school board appointments, no lawsuit, nothing will ever defeat the monster we will be dissecting with my friend Jack, unless we remove the children from the marriage of corporation and state. The public-private partnerships and the misnomer of public education. The public is just another name for something neither you own or control. It's in the hands of the U.S. government and things like Maximus. There is no greater harm the state can achieve than to take children from their families. If not physically, then it will be mentally and then culturally. The oligarchy will lay another brick between you, what you love the most, and your right as an individual human being. Or we could start moving towards growing our own food, raising and teaching our own kids, and making a culture that holds volunteerism and individualism over centralized power and authority. But we will have to stop that pipeline into this abyss. We're not done yet. And that's this week's monologue. Drop a six in the chat if you feel me. And I'm here tonight with my friend Jack Pendergrass, also known as Maximus Disclosure. And tonight we're going to talk about, I think a topic that kind of suits this evolution or timeline that's been happening between TMP and AM Wake Up, having people like Lisa Blandier on, AM Wake Up having people like Megan Walsh on, a lot of what's been going on Twitter recently, just with even with my friend Ken Silva passing around stories about false memory syndrome and all of this, there's something about having this timing and doing this. We're having the right people on at the right time to talk about the right topic. That's the kind of shit I live for, Jack. So I'm happy to have you here tonight. And I want to blow people's minds and maybe even change some things if we can by telling people about the research that you've been doing about Maximus and kind of explaining the concept, like walking us through it, and then maybe even getting into what we are doing and what people are doing out there about this topic, people maybe that you've come in contact with. So, but yeah, first off, just want to introduce yourself to the people, Jack, if you want to say hello here.
Yeah, my name is Jack Pendergrass. I'm a Southern fellow. I live just north of Chattanooga, Tennessee. And got into the research on Maximus and some of the more, you know, more fringe topics concerning that corporation. It's a transnational company, through my own personal family court case involving my daughter. Very quickly, very early on in that case, I wouldn't say I discovered Maximus. I mean, it's been there for a long time, the company itself. So I started researching Maximus and, you know, taking cues from some of the other people I know who have been researching them also. I do think, you know, and I don't want anybody to ever think that I'm some sort of gatekeeper of information, but I've been researching them well over 10 years now, and I've probably taken the research involving some of those people that have been involved with Maximus since the beginning. I've probably taken it deeper than most. That's kind of my, you know, my background as to the research about this particular company. I research a lot of different topics, but Maximus is my niche. And for those who aren't aware of the company, it pretty much connects just about everything that you can think of going on now. Hopefully we can expand upon that knowledge and, you know, provide some resources and help some people. So
I appreciate that, Jack. And again, thank you for giving us your time this evening. And when you brought up like your personal story there, and it just reminded me of my good friend, Lisa Blandier, that I was happy to have on last week. And this is how she got sort of involved with guardianship and the state taking control of people and their assets, people of all different varieties. And that's how, you know, I basically was, you know, was able to bump into her through our good friend, Don Jeffries. But, you know, with personal stories like that and getting involved in researching these things, the solutions part, if we can skip to that already, the thing that I get hung up on is that there are giant institutions that, from what I've gathered, that Maximus is involved in. And I don't know how else that you defeat something that powerful besides just pulling the plug on it. Like, I don't know how you get around, you know, these things, you know, being enabled to work the way that they do without just not voluntarily being involved. Like, I don't believe in the, we're going to vote this out. I don't believe that we're going to be able to like get this out of the system, and just whacking one mole will kind of create another mole, maybe even a worse one, you know, when it comes to these entities. Like, you punish one, but it just becomes another, if you know what
I mean.
Like,
exactly.
Please.
That's, you know, I think that's something we've all struggled with, you know, because it's what we think of government. I think, you know, it is not, you know, it's anything but. The government has yielded all of its any kind of authority to private corporations, you know, lobbyists, things like, you know, ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is, I would call a consortium of nothing but the biggest corporations in the United States and globally, Maximus being included in that. Solutions are, you know, few and far between. But even more so than that, I think is the lack of education about these corporations that exist. You know, I mentioned Maximus, you know, to people in general, and they really have no idea what I'm talking about. And it's taken a long time to get traction on social media to even get, you know, a little bit of response and, you know, and establish some conversations and start pushing out the information about Maximus in particular. Remedies is, that's just, it's so hard. I know people who have successfully gone against the corporate oligarchy, and that's an excellent way to put it. But it's so few and far between. And it's usually not without extensive research and studying, and just by the sheer grace of God that they've been able to find some sort of remedy. You know, courts aren't what we think of, or, you know, not what we're taught. You know, courts are function as banks, essentially, with you and your children being the asset of the state. You know, that's what they claim. That's what, when you really start digging into this, the system, is what you realize. And, you know, they tell you that in various congressional hearings, you know, filings and things like that. And you really have to dig into the history of everything to really, really get a grasp on what's happening now. So we're talking about systems that are ancient, you know, that date back to the Canaanites. And so that's kind of where we're at, you know, is just education and showing people what's happening and how we arrived here. So it takes a lot of doing.
100% agree. Archiving and documenting and being part of something that creates something that people can find and research and understand, because it's going to take a lot of influence in order to get stories like this out there. Like, and as far as the independent media is concerned, and the way that we're all shadow banned and kept on our, you know, different corners of these platforms away from one another, like, it's amazing that we even were able to bump into each other. But on that note, though, you know, with just going back to what I was talking about with Lisa taught me a valuable thing about, you know, the courts being a racket. And that's when I looked at this Maximus story and I listened to this awesome podcast. I forget who sent this to me, or maybe I snagged it off of your twatter. This is from Northwest Liberty News. I watched this interview that you had done about Maximus, helped me understand a little bit more. And I looked at it and I go, oh, it's a racket. I've seen this movie. You know what I mean? Like, it just has.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has those certain qualities to it. So if you would, could you give the audience maybe like a brief explainer on just like what type of corporation Maximus is, what it involves itself in. And just maybe something that they could maybe look up and research and start their journey into understanding this besides just this interview. Cause there's gotta be plenty of like good resources or something out there.
There really is. And a lot of the sources that I've tried to share on my Twitter, of course, you know, and my Telegram. And I have a partner on one of my Telegram channels, Tony Triano. She's tremendous and she's been a huge supporter. So I just want to drop her name real quick. But it takes a support system to get through this. I think we all realize that, right? So the company itself, I'll tell you what they say they do and versus what they actually do. So if anybody's been through the court system, in particular family court system, they've had to deal with CPS, custody, child support, foster care. Maximus is the company that not only laid the foundation for those quote unquote government services to be privatized, they actually laid the foundation for government privatization in general. Now, what do I mean by privatization? We're talking about the government farming out jobs to corporations. So it's creating and has been for, well, to give you an example, you know, we started seeing privatization start happening in the 50s and 60s, and then in the 70s is when things really ramped up. 60s in particular is when, you know, Ross Perot and his company in Texas kind of took over Medicaid and Medicare. You know, they started compiling and, you know, aggregating all the information, you know, started doing the services that government would normally perform, but for cheaper rates. And they've made, all these corporations have made, you know, literal trillions in these contracts. So Maximus is the single biggest purveyor of quote unquote government services that exists in the United States. Now, they're not isolated to the US, but, you know, of course, their foothold began here. So they really got a foothold in the government as far as like contracts and privatization when in 1975, when Title 4D and Title 4E, which is respectively child support and foster care funding, was written as an amendment into the Social Security Act. There again, it's, you know, quote unquote, social services and health and human services. Now that's an interesting time period. And if anybody knows anything about what was happening there in the 70s, mid to late 70s, you know, we're talking about, you know, the church committee hearings and Senate, you know, exposing MK. And without any doubt, you know, Maximus was there to kind of clean up and further that through various means. But they find their foothold in those child support and foster care services. Foster care, which also leads to CPS, right? Now the interesting thing is, and there for a while I'd hit some brick walls about the research I was doing, and then I started looking into the military. So what we have is a private corporation, much like a RAND or a MITRE corporation, that found itself with its base in the military industrial complex. It just so happens that the man who founded Maximus was, directly tied to both DARPA and the Jason Group. And if anybody knows anything about those two, well, it's just we're using their technology right now, you know, for this podcast. We're holding the MK stuff in our hand through the use of our cellular devices and things like that. And Maximus is tied to all of that, as far as, like, you know, even from the software to the programming to the hardware. So that's kind of where they began, as far as the company. Now, if we look into the man who founded it and even his father, who was in the first Special Forces in World War II, you have to, when you start researching these corporations and things, you usually have to go back a couple of generations to really grasp what they are. And, you know, these are things I've just been, you know, been learning myself over the past 4 or 5 years. So what they say they are is a government services corporation, bridging that gap between government and the citizen, quote unquote. It's sickening. I don't know how else to say it.
They might as well say we are Legion or something of that nature too. Why not?
You know, that would be,
yeah, that's, that hits. Yeah.
You know, that's a
go ahead.
Yeah. That's a succinct description of what Maximus is, man. And only recently, like literally this week, I found that, you know, they had opened up another market in India. Here's the thing about India. India has the world's largest biometric database, you know, and Maximus is right there to help them service that. So they have access to every person in India, every person in the United States. Where else? I don't want to make this a boring podcast, but that, you know, if you listen to me prattle on about where they're at and what they're attached to, it will get kind of boring because it's that extensive. You know, we're talking, you know,
well, just giving security. The audience some ideas, though, of the scope of it is great. Yeah, I'm glad that you are aware of this stuff and you're sharing it, man. So, yeah, don't feel bad about it. If it gets boring out there to people that really care about this shit, like, you're fucking up. It's not you, Jack. Yeah. It's them. All right.
Yeah. Right.
You do your thing.
Yeah. So if anybody, like, the more, you know, the more we go along, the more in the public eye, the CPS stuff and the foster care atrocities are becoming, you know, more in the public eye. You know, Maximus is a major reason I lost, you know, I lost my daughter and was, you know, my parental rights were stripped, based upon their, what they essentially created was a child support system. You know, they set up and lobbied for the laws, they set up like court structure, you know, how everything is ran through the bar. And, you know, there again, you know, I mentioned Alec. You really got to dig into this stuff. And let me explain that a little bit better here. So Big Pharma and the military industrial complex have to have people, either one to use in their programs, you know, like, you know, is it just like a general soldier, right? Someone on the battlefield that will take direction. Maximus is part of that too. They recruit for the military. Now, as far as like Big Pharma is concerned, you've got to have, and I hate to use this term, you got to have test subjects. So the kids that are, that's
what I was going to say.
Yeah. The kids that are coming out of foster care through CPS and, you know, in the And it's not, you know, most people will say, well, the system's broken. No, the system's functioning fully as they want it to. You know, it's broken to us because we know it's just complete shit, right? So the kids that are usually coming out of CPS,
an example here.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, this will be attached to this week's source list, folks. Yeah, I just had to pull an archive version of it because Christian Science Monitor has only given me 3 articles to learn stuff. So I should just go value for value. That's the better way to do it. That's what I'd recommend. All right.
There you go.
Continue, man. Sorry.
No, you're good. I think it's important for people to see that, you know, because people listen to us, you know, and inevitably somebody's like, well, what's your sauce or what's your source or reference? So, but I, you know, there again, I believe in citing your sources too and giving credit where due. But some of this stuff I found is like unless you're a deep diver, like unless you're really into this, you're not going to find this just on any kind of mainstream media or, you know, major search engine. You know, I've had to go through military manuals and health and human services compendiums and the stuff that predates HHS, which was it's called DHEW, the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, which was funding MK Ultra partially, aside from the private funding. So you got to have that stuff.
I was about to say, yeah, one could just go down a hell of a spiral down HHS.
Yeah. And you know, I've got a lot of this. You know, I've got most of this stuff. I found, you know, on my various social media accounts. How long it stays up there is anybody's guess, because I'm touching some really sensitive areas that they don't necessarily want people to know about. You know, and I think that holds true for a lot of us,
especially when you involve the military. Like I have a really, really nasty, sneaky suspicion that there's a lot more clandestine operations being done militarily within the United States, you know, than one would lend to believe, right? Especially when you look into the schools themselves, like just the schools. And I'm not even talking about like crazy programs where they drag people away and then like they put them in a warehouse and they turn them into killers. I'm talking about just the schools. Just the way that it's constructed, the way that people are taught, the way that people are taught to behave and conditioned to behave in itself, coming from the military.
Yeah.
And based on programs where they could do predictive behavior.
Yeah.
So there might be a little delay, but yeah, I'll let you continue, Jack. Yeah.
No, you're spot on, brother. So if you really get into the education system, you know, we have to talk about Tavistock, and then we have to talk about the Jesuit order, because, you know, the Jesuit order, for those who don't know, is the military arm of the Vatican, and they've been pulling the strings globally for what, 500 years, at least. So everything we're talking about, you know, is biblical in scope in terms of the history of what we're discussing. When you really get down to the bare bones of it, the bare bones of these systems. Okay, Maximus, just a little.
Yeah, because. Little, go ahead.
Yeah, just a little side note here. Go Maximus ahead. Was. Also known as the Massimo or Maximo Orsini clan that sits atop the Venetian Black nobility families. So the Black nobility families were once known as the Venetians, and that was the Greek term. But biblically speaking, they were called Canaanites. So it takes a lot of reading to be able to, you know, not trying to reduce or water down what we're talking about, but you know, there's your origins for a lot of what we're discussing. And I believe that the name Maximus that the founder chose was a nod to that. And he's like I think his family, you know, his family originated from Italy. So I need to still
well, the look methods at that had to somewhere. Come from somewhere, Jack.
Yeah, exactly. So if we, you know, if you're not, you know, I try to keep myself pretty well read in various subjects because they all connect. It's just a matter of making that bridge between subjects, right? So if you look at the ancient, you know, the mystery Babylon religions, Kabbalah, even Judaism, some of the more esoteric things, you know, a lot of those techniques, torture methods, even those are derived from all that, right? Freemasonry, you have to mention Freemasonry, which is a major part of this. That's all there, you know. The current CEO of Maximus is a guy named Bruce Caswell. He's a high level Mason. the founder was a guy named he's still alive, David Vincent Master, and you know, he was in like I said, he's attached to DARPA, DARPA and ARPA and the Jason Group. The Jason Group came out of the Manhattan Project, and those were the physicists and theoretical physicists that helped Oppenheimer, and you know, they helped Oppenheimer and Einstein, you know, realize the bomb, you know, that man and little boy. So where did they come from? They came from Germany.
Well, and what did that bring to fruition? That brought it into fruition a military industrial complex that has been unparalleled since. Like no one could even imagine threatening when it comes to GDP, when it comes to our overall scope and control and bases across the world. What's going on in with NATO and Russia right now, like all of it came from that.
There again, Maximus. All right, let's do this. Okay, so we're talking about the military industrial complex specifically, because all right, there was a program in Vietnam called Igloo White, which is where they first really instituted higher technology on the battlefield, right? It was called McNamara's Wall. Originally, I thought it was an ARPA project. Well, it was ARPA, which is who precedes DARPA. So it was ARPA that farmed out the job to the Jason Group. The Jasons developed the entire system, including the different types of mines, and there's also battlefield implemented sensors that were attached to what looked like small missiles. They blended in with the foliage and had different arrays attached to the various types. So the primary data analyst was the guy who founded Maximus, David Master. So he had access to all these programs, all this technology in the 60s that he later turned and used for Maximus, for their child support program, for their foster care programs, for those databases. Like Maximus has created massive, massive databases that stem from that work from the Pentagon. So when we talk about the family courts, you're looking at massive data gathering systems that they've implemented. Why? Because it benefits the military and it benefits the quote unquote family courts to know everything about everybody. Those systems are used to generate
social. What you're saying is the Maximus Trojan horse couldn't have been built by bloodier hands. Like there's just no one touching them on Earth. The most evil sons of bitches ever getting involved in something like your relationship with education and your kids and family court and everything.
If the devil himself had a company, it would be Maximus, you know. It's pathological.
Was it LeMay that they called the devil? His nickname was he a part of this too? Because I'm thinking that some of the most evil people in American history, like I bet you there was some really nasty players similar to that. It could probably hold a candle, at least. I'll have to look up the reference for the devil of May, just so people can check that out, see what I'm talking about.
But, I haven't taken the time to break it down completely, but I've got a PDF of like who graduated with Master and from West Point, you know. And those are captains of industry, and they have been, you know, since they graduated. But they were all groomed for it, too. You know, it's multi-generational, right? Nobody could convince me that these companies, you know, and Maximus isn't the only one. I would say they're the most pervasive in the last 50 years, you know, exceedingly so, even, you know, compared to say Serco or MITRE or RAND. And that's saying something, because the RAND Corporation has committed atrocities. And these, you know, some of this stuff I've been finding has not been declassified for very long. And and I'm trying to push it more. It's horrendous. You know, and it's not like any of the other control systems that have been in place since the beginning. You know, they're all psychopaths and sociopaths, you know, demonically possessed. I firmly believe that. These people don't think in normal terms. They look at us as chattel, as human cattle to do with as they please, and that goes for your children. That goes for anybody that you've known. That's how they all view us, you know.
Well, to put a finer point on it, walk us through maybe a process that you've researched where a child has been separated due to, you know, a CPS complaint. Because it's always like the red flag that goes up that sort of starts the ball rolling with the government fuckery, I've noticed. Like this happens with like FBI spying cases and things of that nature. Like I talked to Ken Silva about last week, about a young gentleman where they sent in FBI informants to try and maybe provoke this guy or get something out of him to make him a terrorist. You know what I mean? Like what is their process of separating the child from the family? And then what, just so people can kind of get it clear in their mind.
So let's say we've got the family court system thrives on conflict, right? The states don't get paid unless there's, a separation. So the states generate so much revenue in child support and they're getting kickbacks from the federal government. These are running entire cities, just the child support collections alone. Okay. So those are predicated by divorce. So when you get married, it's not just you and your wife. And there's a very obvious distinction between marriage and holy matrimony. So instead of you and your wife being married or betrothed, it's you, your wife, and the state. So that's one of the major issues there, just with
that's
marriage.
That's not the thruple I would have signed up for there, Jack.
Yeah, right. I don't think anybody would. So instead of being, you know, you, your wife, and God being your witness and the pastor marrying you, the state has assumed the position of being the higher authority there. And so they start out with that, right? So through different mechanisms, they'll encourage, you know, of course, children to be brought into the world. Then from there, they'll generally, and there's tons of propaganda out there, and has been since, you know, the 60s, right? With equal rights, feminism, and those quote unquote movements, encouraging women to get divorced, and that you don't need men. The state will help you raise it. Parents patriae is one of the terms where the state assumes, you know, parental rights in lieu of the dad. But what a lot of women don't realize is when they sign up for these social programs, they're yielding part of their parental rights to the state, because you are now under state control because you've allowed that to happen. So then the parents, you know, become divorced through some way, through various mechanisms. The child ends up in foster care, you know, either through lack of care, or which is usually pushed through by the state, the Bar Association, which is a huge part of all this, of course, too. And the Bar is Jesuit controlled also. So they have all these completely BS, unconstitutional laws set up to be able to place children in state care. Then from state care, you know, they usually end up in a foster care home or a halfway house or, you know, foster care home, as wards of the state. And then the state can do whatever they damn well please with the child. And this includes just some of the most atrocious experiments that you can imagine. The Fernald School, and, you know, this is like in the, trying to remember the exact date on the Fernald School. So these children who were wards of the state were given oatmeal that had radioactive isotopes put into it. So that's just one example, you know, and that's from, I think, the 30s and 40s. And it was under the guy, you know, that was under MIT's supervision. So they still continue to do those things in modern times. Now they're, you know, they have codes of federal regulation and blah, 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 guaranteeing the protection of, supposed to guarantee the protection of wards of the state, but they don't. You know, we had the Tuskegee experiments, the Milgram experiments, the Rand Project.
We had 2020.
Yeah. You know,
that was the world's greatest Milgram experiment, if you ask me. I don't think you can get bigger than that. That was the Super Bowl of Milgram experiments.
Yeah, and Maximus was actually part of the vaccine rollout. They've been in partnership with the CDC since at least 2012. That's what my research indicates, is that at least since 2012 they've been running the CDC databases in providing a lot of the tech for those databases.
These guys are like the template for Hydra, like for Marvel Comics Hydra, like literally.
Yeah, they really are.
It's nasty, dude.
Yeah, you know, I started researching, you know, a few years ago, like the Promise software. You're even attached to that through Earl Bryant, you know, who was trying to procure health and human services contracts because of what was happening with the Promise software. If you're not familiar with that, we're talking about the systems and databases and the technology that was stolen from a gentleman named Bill Hamilton, who created the program that was originally for tracking federal cases, specifically, you know, is for tracking people in cases, whether it be the prosecutors, witnesses, judges, attorneys, you know, everybody involved. That's what it was originally intended for. So then it was stolen by Earl Bryant, and then
sounds like a hell of a blackmail list.
It's amazing. Who all Maximus and this stuff is connected to. Promise was called, you know, the octopus, because it connected everybody. Well, if Promise is the octopus, then Maximus is definitely an arm of that. And I don't know how true it is, but I had heard that Maximus had procured at least one version of the Promise software. Promise stands for Prosecutor Management Information System. So then, you know, when child support was created, they knew that it would generate court cases, so they had to have a tracking system for those court cases and everyone involved. So that's where that becomes involved. It's a massive timeline, you know, and I'm trying to I'm really trying to pinpoint certain dates, but 1975 is a huge one. 1974, 1975. It's just so extensive. It's difficult for me to simplify what Maximus is and what they do, because it gets so deep so quickly, right?
Think of military and you think of like databasing, like my mind immediately goes back to IBM punch cards. Like it seems like the creeps, the people that have been like the ones that have sort of spurred all of the sociological changes of the past 200 years or so, have been linked to like this massive, like they just want information, whether it being from digital ID or rather it be just like tracking people. Like it's always based out of like the giant databasing. It's always for the public good. It's always for convenience. It's always, well, this is the best of technology. It's happening with AI right now. It's all this predictive software, and predictive meaning that by the databasing, they can control human behavior. They can predict it. They can make us bet on black instead of red. They can manipulate markets. And that's how you maintain power throughout centuries, is being able to call the shots from behind the scenes, right?
Yeah, that's
the greatest trick the devil ever played.
yeah. And it's exactly as you stated. You know, the punch card systems developed by IBM, you know, those were used as early as right. So the origins for the punch card systems came from there was a gentleman who kind of refined the process, but it even predates him, Louis Jacquard, who was a French weaver. Like, he made fabric. The punch card system is derived from a loom, a weaver's loom. So then fast forward, you know, what, about 150 years, that system was used here, at least, and maybe a little bit before. But in 1890, there was a punch card system used in the United States for the census. So we also see that, you know, going back and forth, that technology kind of going back and forth, going from here to Germany with IBM and the Hollerith machines, right? So those machines, what, you know, what they were doing was your earliest mechanized form of biometrics collections, you know. So that's kind of where the, at least in a relative sense, where the automation and mechanization and, you know, the Turing machines, you know, Enigma, all that stuff kind of happened pretty close together in how we arrived where we're at today with biometrics, you know, and biosurveillance, because you can't have a digital ID without all those biometrics collections, right?
Well, and they're doing it with farming. It's perfect that you've made that description. You might have to give me a spelling of that person's name that you mentioned, though, because fuck. But in a moment, though, because I just want to make this point. The connection between the farm and the loom and like the way that mode of thinking probably came from. Like if you're thinking about the evolution of the thought or the method, right, Jack, that if you're thinking through this, a lot of this stuff was based on the principles of farming, like with genetics and how to breed better plants. I mean, it goes back to Gregor Mendel, you know, that type of science and scientific approach and management of things. And the people that are in, you know, in the high towers, you know, the people that are in power here, be it, you know, whatever background or lizard people, no matter what, like they probably more than likely look at this as like a system of management. Like we're managing these people. We're raising them to be something the way that they would raise a crop. So like it's unbelievable that it comes back to the loom. like you mentioned. That's incredible. Yeah. Thank you for dropping.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah, because you know that I was looking at I was studying some of the, you know, some of the stuff from the early cryptography organizations, you know, and it really began here in the United States, and then with the Allies too, you know, working together with the Enigma machine, you know, breaking codes. But even, you know, the cryptology stuff goes back to freaking ancient Italy and China. So it's to me, it's helpful to see how the past has shaped the future and where we might be going. And that's why I've been kind of able to stay ahead a little bit, not much, but stay a little bit ahead of what Maximus is kind of rolling out now. You know, and that's just what information I have available to me, because they're, if you're talking about DARPA and those think tanks like DARPA and RAND and MITRE and some of the others, you know, they're decades ahead of what they're presenting to us in the public. But Maximus is right there with them.
And thanks to Ray from down under for dropping this link. But nothing says it more plainly, Jack, than moving people like there's something that they could just manipulate and move around, right? Like we asked them to. Like we said, please, Maximus, move us. And then technology and government forward. We want that too. Yeah, like we asked for all that. Oh, nothing says it better. They can't help it. Like their shit falls apart logically right from the start, doesn't it? Like it's not for the greater good. It's for something else. It's another entity. It's for the benefactors of whomever is at the top of whatever financial system. Some people even say Satan. But there's something else going on there. It ain't for us. This isn't for us. This wasn't built or meant for us at all.
No, it's is meant to reduce us, you know. Maximus is involved in the USDA. They're involved in, all right, just off the top of my head, just real quick for everybody, so you kind of get a scope of how large and invasive this company is. They are.
Can we make it a challenge, Jack? Or somebody has to do a push-up for every connection that you can make?
Oh man, it would fail. It'd be horribly. Helpful
for this challenge to have.
Maximus essentially runs the NOAA, the IRS, the SEC, the Census Bureau, Health and Human Services on a federal level. This is, you know, just off the top of my head. Let's see, who else? If you name a federal agency or even a local state level, quote unquote government service, Maximus is attached to it. Like I said, most recently I found the one in India. So I found contracts for Maximus in Poland, the entirety of the UK, including Ireland and Scotland, Amsterdam, in the Netherlands, Sweden, Italy, Brazil, Canada, Australia, Tasmania, and New Zealand, Singapore. Who else? South Korea, United Arab Emirates, UAE, under, I think they call it Maximus Gulf, is the name of that division. What's interesting about the EU division and in the various countries they have their satellite offices, that's all funded by the EU. So they're just raking in literally nothing but profit from the European Union, you know. And so then obviously we have to talk about the World Bank, IMF, WHO, and all those NGOs. But they've done so where it's, they like exposure, but not the wrong exposure. In other words, they don't want you to know what they're doing, which is why I feel it's important to expose them in, you know, in every possible way.
I pulled this up from Maximus Gulf. This is from their careers section. Just in case there's any listeners out there in Saudi Arabia that are looking for a really sweet gig non-plan. Oh man. A place where you can make a difference. What?
Yeah.
A difference in what? And who
asked? They're not saying good or bad, right? They're just saying a difference. It doesn't matter which.
Like, I know I'm going to hate it when I hate it from the first line, Jack. Like, it's just, it's really tough to get past the first line there for me. But we got that on the source list. I love this, man, because we're able to go through this and just kind of lay down for people sort of like at least a skeletal place where they can start with this. Because like you said, like we're not going to get this out of our system in an hour and a half, folks. I'm sorry. This goes deep. This goes into so many different things and so many different facets of our life. Like it's going to require like people that are interested in this and want to take it, you know, to that level where they want to become more knowledgeable in it to do something about it. They're going to have to look at resources like following Jack's link that's in the description of this video right now. Let me pull up what that looks like just so everybody can identify it. This is what I'm talking about here. Once I hit the screen share button, boop. Yes, go to this page, follow Jack. He is on Telegram. Jack, we're going to have to get you in the TMP Telegram group. It's a fun time. And then also he is on the Twitter. Yeah. And then Facebook, I don't know what that is. And then Truth Social. Are you active on the Truth Social? I've never tried it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't, but was it like bumping for a while and then it died down, or is it like Gab and there's nothing? Or
I just kind of set up an account, you know. There for a while, you know, all my social media was getting tanked, like, regularly. So I was just trying to, you know, get a foothold wherever I could, whether it be Facebook or Twitter or Telegram. Telegram is where I was able to get some exposure to the information, you know, and I've had I haven't been able to do this all by myself. I mean, I did for a long time, you know, for the better part of, I would say 7 or 8 years, just hoarding information and sources. And I was, you know, I've been incredibly blessed, you know, with the people that I speak with on a regular basis who are also interested in Maximus, because they're seeing how it's bleeding into their lives, not just from a research standpoint, but like personally. You know, because if you look at things as they are now, I don't think there's any kind of projection on my end. The divorce rates, child custody, foster care, CPS, and things like that, you know, that used to be the exception, but now it's more akin to the rule, right? So Maximus is part of all the legislation.
I have no friends or family members whatsoever that haven't been affected by something like that. Like, there's no, like, it's everywhere. I mean, it's yeah, like, it's like drug abuse too.
I mean, yeah, it really is.
And I think the two go hand in hand really well, and probably brought to us by the same people.
Yeah. A friend of mine in New Hampshire, you know, we're exposing a lot in New Hampshire. She's really dug in to New Hampshire, because it's, you know, we started talking through a mutual friend, and she and I just continued the research, you know, and New Hampshire is just—it's bad. I mean, it's bad everywhere, but New Hampshire is huge because of you know, what we were able to find on, you know, the Pandora Papers, the Panama Papers, and all the you know, the offshore accounts that New Hampshire, the state of New Hampshire, and all those people involved up there, you know, Sununu and everybody. It's directly tied to Maximus and the freaking archdiocese and Catholic Charities. And that's, as we start looking at each state, that's becoming more apparent. You know, I'm in Tennessee, and Tennessee is very much a blueprint for a lot, from the Smart City initiative and the system set up for that. Chattanooga is basically the blueprint for the Smart City initiative. The state of Tennessee, the Treasury Department owns a significant amount of stock in Maximus. Now in Memphis, you know, this is in the early 1900s, there was a woman named Georgia Tan. As far as I know, and, you know, I'm going to have to, there's a lot more research. There's always more research for you to look at. She set up one of the first, you know, if not the first adoption scheme in Tennessee. And a lot of the other states have based a lot of their adoption programs on what she set up. And it was bad then, you know, and it's just progressively gotten worse. The systems were already there in place. I think they were just waiting for all this technology to catch up, you know. You know, legislation, you know, everybody gets paid off, blah, 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 blah. So it's not unlike a lot of things that we see, but Maximus is unique in that they've actually created entire industries and filled the niche of the of what they create. Is it incredibly intelligent from a business standpoint? Well, yeah. But equally so, is it evil? All day.
They definitely cornered a market. If you want to look at it from that, like, you know, like just no frontal lobe, no empathy type of just you're nothing but a snake sucking eggs type of Gordon Gekko type of motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to look at it like that, like they played the game well because like they got in there, man. They're in like Flynn. They're in everything. But on the flip side, though, the amount of manipulation, the amount of like just unbelievably horrible things that an entity like that can get away with that type of power, like there's not a better, like you mentioned, like certain cities being templates for the smart cities and things like that. And you mentioned the great state of Tennessee. I would be remiss not to bring this up in our discussion of downtown Nashville.
Yes.
Looking
yes.
like Mordor. But but
okay, yeah, we can. There's, whatever, you know, I've got a thread on that in particular. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. The AT&T building, that's an NSA black site, and they were supposed to be tabulating votes. Coming up from Georgia there. So,
that's, I mean, it looks like an antenna. That's the thing about the building, just its architecture alone. Like you think, like if not Io Sauron, of course, maybe an antenna or maybe like a stun gun.
Yeah.
It has those points, but that's either way, not Sauron. Good.
Yeah, the friggin' eye of Sauron casting its gaze over Tennessee.
and that goes along with Palantir too. I'm sure you've heard of that lovely company.
Palantir,
you know, which, as you mentioned before, when it comes to the connections to all this stuff, Peter Thiel, investor in Rumble, as we speak on right now, like the tech itself. The control, like the rollout of it, how it's introduced, how people are educated in it. Like when you first got an Apple II as a kid, or just like whenever it was your first cell phone, like Ryan Graham was talking about earlier on Grand Theft Liberty Radio, that they're all of that rollout, our introduction to it, our conditioning with technology. Maximus is probably responsible for a lot of that, probably throughout my entire life. And I had no idea that the entity itself even existed.
Yeah, you know,
that's a wild program, influence, man.
Yeah, man, it's insane. You know, that program I mentioned that the founder was a part of in Vietnam. That technology was so good then. It's still being used today. It's the premise for that technology is the basis for all your sensor arrays now. That's how influential Operation Igloo White was and still is. And like I said, he was the data analyst for one of the, you know, it's my understanding from what I've read, he was the top data analyst for that entire system. And, you know, not coincidentally, you know, they were using IBM computers then. So more recently, you know, I haven't been threatened directly, but I've received a lot of odd things happening, which is usually what happens when you start investigating, you know, intel agencies and their accomplices. But I started looking at the NSA, and I sent a FOIA request in a couple of years ago to the NSA regarding, you know, if they even contracted with Maximus, because there was nothing that existed on the internet even tying the two together. And they quickly shut down that FOIA request. And I just recently sent another one. And again, that was shut down. And it was under an executive order under Obama that they're using to deny any kind of information or any kind of release of any contracts that they may or may not have, quote unquote. But yeah, it was Maximus.
Well, for curious minds out there, real quick, Jack. How hard was it for you to file a FOIA request? Like, how hard of a process was that to go through? Like, what did it take to do that? Just for other citizen researchers out there,
FOIAs really aren't that difficult to fill out. You know, generally speaking, you can use pretty much like a blanket form, as it were, of to request information. The problem is getting information back, or even if they'll admit that they have such information. But you can find, you know, and I'll try to provide some stuff for people too, so they can kind of see some of the forms I've used. But John Greenwald at the Black Vault, the guy's probably been more successful than anyone ever in terms of FOIA requests. So that's a good resource to have. And if you're not familiar with the Black Vault, you should be. John Greenwald is just a tremendous researcher. The people I really look up to. So in general, you know, FOIA requests don't take long to generate, you know, requesting the information. The more specific you are, the better. Creating, you know, data ranges, documents, people that you think might be involved with particular programs or operations. That guy, like the Black Vault, is just a tremendous site for reference. You know, he's got so much there. But even
glad you dropped that, Jack. That's awesome. I'm gonna include that in this week's source list too. Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll be on Substack and Instagram and Ocelli.com.
Yeah, but you know, even amongst like how extensive what he has is, I've only found one mention of Maximus, one, and that was a data, you know, a data breach in Atlanta. So, but yeah, John's work is tremendous, man. And he's on Twitter also, you know, so like there are links to his site there. And, you know, he's always putting out great information. But yeah, FOIAs aren't difficult per se to write. It's just whether or not you're going to get any kind of a feedback, cooperation of any kind. Luckily, Maximus and, you know,
I wonder if it's like a way that you pose the questions that kind of, if you pose them in the right manner, that they have to like grant you the information, or is it just whether or not they just feel like it or not? That's kind of that's the thing that's like upsetting to me. Why is it that we have freedom to this information? We ask for it, and then they kind of just arbitrarily give it to us or not.
You know, if they were following the law, then, you know, we'd have access to all the records, you know. Now, you know, I'm not naive about it. You know, there are some things that the general population probably shouldn't see. That way they kind of isolate and keep certain technologies unavailable to enemy combatants, I guess you would say. But to that, I guess a counterpoint to my point would be like, you know, they've labeled the general population as enemy combatants. So,
thank you for completing that thought for me, man. I knew you were kind of going there with it too. So I'm glad you rolled right into that. It's a hard thing to describe, like, because like, yeah, like for most people, if you stop them on the sidewalk and you said, do you want the government to keep secrets to protect you? They'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, they don't want to be involved or bothered with that type of thought. Like, they believe in the system. The system's in place to protect them. Like, if children are separated from their parents, it's because the state made their best decision. You know, like, you could rely on them to not do this based upon rather corruption or some sort of weird connections to all different sorts of entities, or just like an overall, and this is the scarier part for me, the overall mentality of those people. There is a lot of cult-like connections to a lot of this stuff. So how you find the right type of people, and you're thinking about, like we were talking about earlier, these people love sorting things. They love making little categories. So why not find like methods to find the best people to be your best minions?
Yeah. That's a great point. You know, that's where you come in into like your Palantirs, Deloitte, Google, Amazon, you know, any of those companies that are creating and aggregating just all these immense amounts of data, you know, the NSA being one of them. But if anything, Maximus is, you know, and this is not speculation on my part, and I've read it from a couple of different authors, you know, the databases that Maximus has created are larger than what the NSA has, which is frightening that you have a corporation that has that much aggregated data on everybody in the United States. And they're doing the same thing in every country that they open a satellite in, you know. I just recently, you know, I had the document forever and a day.
Would that not let them predict your behavior? Sorry, I think that there is a delay. But, yeah, would it not let them predict our behavior then? Like, if they can track everything, what are they doing it for? Like, why else? I mean, if even at its most benign, right, it allows them to make plays on the stock market. It allows them to predict certain, you know, currencies moving up or down, credit ratings, everything, whether or not you're going to get a loan, whether or not your business is going to succeed, every single thing.
Everything, man, everything. You know, I guess this is, I'll use this as an example. Obamacare, they created those databases for the Affordable Health Care Act, and that began in Minnesota, right? And I've got some infographics on my Twitter about what exactly that did, you know. And this is, you know, we can go back to you know, the Ford administration, and even back into the Eisenhower administration, you know, if we really want to get in depth with it. But I think most pertinent in it would be the Affordable Health Care Act, and the amount of data that created. And it was Maximus, and it was written.
You mentioned ties with the IRS.
Oh,
and everybody that around that time had to, you had to declare your healthcare status. This was the show me your papers before the show me your papers. That's great.
Exactly what it is. Yeah. You know, those are the brown shirts. You know, we're here to help you. Yeah, man, it's that single database alone connected, you know, the IRS, Health and Human Services, Homeland Security, the DMV. And this is, you know, it begins on a even at your local, wherever you may live, your local municipality to the next largest city, to the state, and then to the federal. So you see how invasive that is. And you know, I know there's some, you know, Obamacare experts out there, and one of them is Twyla Brace. I've been able to chat with her just a little bit, but Twyla Brace is also a tremendous researcher. She's a nurse in Minnesota, and I read an article, but it was based on her work, so I had to track her down. But the Obamacare database was more invasive. And to quote the article that I read on it, it said it was the largest single transfer of personal information in the history of the United States when that database was created. And that also connects. I don't know how many people have even heard of LexisNexis. It's in Atlanta. But you know, are you thinking about your just your medical records alone and what they're able to do with that? Let alone your financial history, your travel records. They're monitoring everything down from your DNA up, you know, to your shoe size. So. And it's you know, if we just had an example from the past, cough cough, Nazi Germany.
You never know what they may need to manipulate. Like they want data superiority. Like that's a term that pops up in a lot of these people's explanations, like especially when they're being recorded in public, that they have to deem it or term it as something as simple and as vague as superiority. Well, that means that it's all encompassing. Like I thought about this the other day, and maybe we'll kind of end with this thought and we'll say our goodbyes. But with this, when you want to prevent something, Jack, there is no end that you'll ever come to, that you could, or at any length that you cannot go to, I will say, to prevent something from happening. So if you want to use that as an excuse for the government or a corporation, banks, anything to protect you from something, then you're allowing them to go to any end that they want to do that. Once you call for their help, you are then their property.
You really are. And what did we read? I can't remember if it was a Supreme Court decision, but once you voluntarily take a vaccine or I think it was a vaccine specifically, that opens you up to being how was it defined? You've used their product, so now that product is part of you, then oh gosh, I don't want to misspeak here, but it was something to the
it's
effect
like
of
eminent domain.
yeah. I don't think you have a claim on anything that
no, this
do
is more
you.
Like copy. This is more like copyright claims, right? Like or something that's patent rights. You know, I would say that whenever they patent something, like say how they patent corn, like if you're eating corn that comes from like mass produced, you know, farms and stuff like that, it's genetically engineered. Like I looked on a bag of chips the other day. I said this is a genetically engineered product. Well, like. When you're born in the future, they may stamp that same very thing on you because, like, by eating that garbage and then passing it along to the next generation, and they're monitoring all of this, mind you. Oh, gee, what could they possibly be experimenting with?
Yeah. And I think that was the premise behind that Supreme Court decision is like you're now basically intellectual property or, you know, including you can be included in that company's assets or something. I hate misspeaking about that stuff. And I know I've posted it before, but yeah, that's exactly what they're doing. How absolutely insane and narcissistic and psycho and sociopathic is it to lay claim to somebody's DNA, you know? But that's what they're doing.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that you mentioned it like that, because I was just going to say, people that feel that way about other people and think that they have the right to make those decisions for other people, those are the people that don't deserve the ring of power, folks. In fact, nobody really does. But especially those people, though. Like, they definitely don't. So, if you want someone to have a takeaway from this discussion, Jack, what would that be? Like, to rather help further them into the research of Maximus and the stories that you've covered, or what have you? Like, what do you think that would be?
Just from, you know, just from what time we've had tonight, which has been great. It's just an introduction to the company itself, because that seems to be the biggest obstacle, is just getting their name out there. And I can tell you from experience, anybody who's listening, that has been difficult. That has been very difficult. I've had at least five Twitter accounts crushed, just outright terminated. Every social media platform that I've used and started exposing this stuff has been shut down. So I'm thankful to be on here tonight, Six. You know, it's great. And I'm sincerely thankful.
It's just the problem, man. And you're the type of guy that I would recommend getting on Substack, you know, because that's a place where I haven't run into any type of problems yet. Knock, knock. But when it comes to that, though, I have plenty of friends that write and post things, and there's plenty of other good researchers that can be found there. I just talked to Zoe Smith a couple weeks ago, since we were talking about all the vaccine stuff. She's on Substack, and my friend Don Jeffries is also there. Plenty of good folks there. And there's even an AM Wake Up Substack. I don't know if they're using it, but yeah. You can find the articles that we pulled up tonight about Maximus, the Maximus websites that we showed on screen. Everything that you guys saw during the show tonight is available on Substack for free. You can go there and you can download, you can find all these links, you can archive them, download stuff from them, print them out, whatever you want to do. But just make sure that this information gets preserved somewhere else. Offload it. Like, Jack, you've probably run into this problem. Stuff disappears from the internet. Things disappear. Entire websites go down. They're just gone, kaput, toast.
Yeah.
And who knows with, like, in the next couple years, what's happening with social media and censorship if they shut down a Substack. So I no longer have that archive. Like, archive shit offline. Get it onto a hard drive. That stuff's getting kind of cheap now. And if you have the ability to, you know, get a server and start, you know, just archiving things on it, do that shit. And if you're doing this sort of things, you probably want to get in touch with us too, because we can share resources. People out there can become contributors to TMP. Hit me up if you want to make content, produce content. I have my email address in the description. The best thing that anybody can do, though, is share the information that we have in these source lists and share the show with people like Jack here that joined us tonight. So that way more people can get introduced to this too. Like, we can break these algorithms by sharing things. There's no one stopping you yet from being able to take this, copy it onto your phone that I know that you have probably in your hand right now. And you can copy it and share it, text it to somebody. You can text people links to things. It works. Like, they haven't taken that from you yet. Because, like, on the social media platforms, on the platform that we're even on right now, They do not want us to succeed. And when I say they, I mean the types of entities that we talked about this evening. they are bringing this to you, and we are subverting it to help us and you. So please, if you can, support the value for value systems that we have at TMP and AM Wake Up. Here at TMP, you can become a contributor. You can give $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can give us a one-time contribution at Subscribestar, or you can even throw up some Rumble rants in the chat and even do that during TMP 24/7 if you just want to throw us a buck or two throughout the day. Please do that, because it helps this stuff get better and reach more people. Because if it's better, if it sounds better, if it looks better, if it's able to be marketed somewhere, somehow, even if it's printing merch, if it's doing anything from yard signs to flyers to stickers to full out events like Third Eye Carnival, for instance. This is the old one, but there's going to be a new one. There is a new one. But yeah, there's going to be things like live events. Everything that you're contributing in these value for value systems is going towards making some sort of cultural change. If you're listening to this tonight and you want something to fucking change, the best way that we could do this is collecting our resources, working with one another, like Jack works with other researchers who he shouted out tonight. So if you got a shout out from Jack, make sure to shout out your boy if you get on a show. Like those types of things. Like, let's connect. Let's make something happen. So I'm glad that we got to do this here tonight, Jack. Thank you very much for joining us. It is late. But everyone that joined us on both TMP, AM Wake Up, and Studio 8424, and Radio 8424, I believe. Thank you all for joining us. But yes, share this. Make sure to hit the like button. And then also, if you haven't followed us yet, what the fuck? Like, please follow us. And then go and follow Jack and what he's doing. It's right in like the second line of the description. You can do it. Just scroll down there, click his link, and then go and follow Jack and what he's doing and share the stuff that he's talking about, please. So that way more people can see it. That's the best thing you could do, really. All right. But with that, Jack, we're going to have to do this again, my friend. This is a good time. Definitely. Talk about some dark shit, but you're a good guy to hang out with. And I can tell that you've done a lot of research for you to be able to recall a lot of this just from memory. I don't think you had a cheat sheet going into this. We didn't discuss questions. We don't have a format. You were able to drop some great shit just from memory. So I know you know your stuff, man. Like this was a fun conversation to have. And I would definitely recommend that other folks out there that are into this, that are creators, that do podcasts, that they should definitely have you on too to talk about this in front of their audiences as well. So
yeah, thank you, my friend. I appreciate that, brother.
You got it, man. Well, we'll see you all next week, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time here on TMP AM Wake Up and Studio and Radio 8424. I should probably work out how to say that. But then also you can find us on Twitter as well. And I have the TMP on Twitter page now. So for those of you that haven't gone over and given that a follow, please do. And that term, twatter, it's a special term that has come to us from a good friend, Harps. And Harps is a fellow metalhead. He loves guns and cats, and he has an amazing collection of metal t-shirts and signed things, and plays with crazy guitar picks. But the one thing I wanted to bring up was that Harps and our good friend Tom have decided that they would like to do a podcast together. And this podcast is based off of, well, a saying that is another saying that they use amongst each other in the TMP chats and things like that. It's how's the mob? meaning their families. And we're going to do a show now called Mob Rules. And Mob Rules is going to be on TNP on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time. And I think it's 8 a.m. Monday, Harps Time in Australia. So that's some time zone differences there. I've dealt with that kind of shit before. But yeah, this is what it's going to look like, folks. Look for this on TMP, Mob Rules with Harps and Tom. This photo, Jack, this is one of those strange coincidences that I was looking for protest photos from Australia and happened to pull this one. And it turns out that Harps was there.
So, oh, man, that's
and
great.
I couldn't find a better way to show the division, like the us and them, going back to Pink Floyd as we did coming in, between us and them. Look at this line between authority and the people. I hope that we sparked a lot of thoughts and a lot of curiosity in people with our conversation tonight, Jack. And I hope to see everyone back here next Tuesday. Definitely go check out Jack's shit if you haven't already. You should. And until we meet again, and until we are free, we are the new prisoners.